Good morning. Good to see you guys today. I have a question. Does anyone, well, will you admit to having seen or remembering the film 50 First Dates? A couple of you enjoy it. Well, it starred Adam Sandler and Drew Barrymore, and it's set in Hawaii, so that's kind of nice. But basically, the premise was this guy, Henry, meets this girl, Lucy, and he begins to really care for her and pursue her, and they have a great first date together. And the next day, he wants to continue to pursue this relationship and pick it up where they left off. The only problem is he discovers that she has extreme short-term memory and basically can only remember one day at a time. She forgets everything, including their date. So every day, he has to start over and make her fall in love with him again and again. Well, that's a funny premise for a rom-com. But could you imagine how frustrating that would be in real life? I mean, imagine every single day. I mean, beginnings in a relationship are a wonderful thing, but you know what's also wonderful? Progression. Moving forward, building on those beginnings, advancing forward to maturity in a relationship. Now, in the same way, God has, over the course of our lifetimes, begun to pursue us because he loves us deeply and wants a relationship with us. So in many different creative ways, powerful ways, he has introduced himself to us again and again, demonstrating his care for and commitment for us. But what he would really enjoy, and I think what we would all really benefit from, is not staying in the beginning stages of a relationship with God, but for us to continue to advance, to continue to grow, to go forward in maturity in our relationship with him. Now, in Lucy's case in this movie, she didn't have a choice. But for us, we absolutely do. And I would say this, people never consciously decide to keep relational to connection with God limited. They don't decide, well, I'm just going to keep things with God on a surface, casual relationship. You generally don't see that. I'll just keep it in the baby stages. But many people never choose to do the things it takes to progress from that into a place where they have a depth of relationship. And because of that, their relationship with God is stunted. And they feel frustrated, maybe disconnected and confused, instead of moving forward in a relationship and connecting deeply to God and experiencing his presence. And so what happens is they're stuck in a stunted state, and actually you don't stay there, you actually begin to regress if you're in that pattern. So the question for us today to personally consider is, are you moving forward to maturity in your relationship with God? Or is it more like 50 or 500 first dates, where we're laying the same groundwork again and again, starting over with very little progress? What I would say to you is that it is so important to you, it's so important to the people around you, and it's so important to God himself that you begin and we begin moving forward to maturity in our relationship with him. So what we're going to do is we're going to consider this idea today and ask the question, are we moving forward into maturity, as we consider three other questions that we get from today's text, speaking of which, you can turn to the book of Hebrews towards the end of the New Testament. If you don't have your Bible with you, the verses will be on the screen. We cannot say for sure who wrote the book of Hebrews. Many of us believe it was the Apostle Paul. He's a strong candidate, but we can't be sure. What we do know is that throughout the book of Hebrews, the superiority of Christ is pronounced, it is demonstrated and broken down in many different ways. And as the author elevates Jesus, he also issues us, the reader, the listener, some challenges. Now, we pick up in a section right after he talks about this mysterious Old Testament character named Melchizedek. But the author doubts, he just kind of writes out loud, he doubts that they're actually going to understand this because of the lack of their moving forward in faith. He doesn't think they're going to get it, so he takes a moment to address this, and that's where we're going to find our focus for today. Hebrews 5, starting in verse 11, he writes, "We have much to say about this, but it is hard to make it clear to you because you no longer try to understand. In fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk being still an infant is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness, but solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. Therefore, let us move beyond the elementary teachings about Christ and be taken forward to maturity, not laying again the foundation of repentance from acts that lead to death and of faith in God, instruction about cleansing rites, the laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment, and, God permitting, we will do so. We're going to stop in the text for there today. A couple other messages in the text following, but those are still in the R&D phase, so we'll come to them another day. So for today, the question again before us is, are you moving forward to maturity? And so the first question as we begin to evaluate our lives and consider this is, are you listening? You're listening, and good for you, so that's good. But are you listening? Question, do you feel motivated to pour your heart out and share the deepest things inside of you to someone that you realize is kind of tuning you out? Not really, right? I mean, we don't really want to put ourselves out there for that. But so what's the point of discussing deep things with a person who really isn't listening? You can kind of see in their eyes, they're right in front of you, but their mind is like in Arizona or somewhere far from the conversation. And so the author, after the deep things he's been sharing, and by the way, Hebrews is a very deep book, he stops and says this, we have much more to say, but it is hard to make clear to you because you are no longer trying to understand. Other translations say it as this: you've become dull of hearing, or spiritually dull. I love the way the Message paraphrase says it. You've picked up this bad habit of not listening. Spiritual dullness. This is the inability or unwillingness to hear what God is saying to you. Now, to understand why this is such a problem, we first have to back up and establish a premise. And that is that God is trying to speak to you. Do you believe that? God has important, valuable, affirming, directional, all kinds of important information that he is trying to communicate to you, and he wants you to understand. And that's really the point of the Bible, is that God is talking to us. He's talking to his creation. He's trying to get us to the point where we are brought back to him, and then he's trying to push us out and involve us in his work in the world that he created. I mean, think about it. God spoke to Adam and Eve. He walked with them and talked with them in the garden in the cool of the day, and from the context of that relationship, he gave them meaningful work to do. God spoke to Abraham, and he promised him that he would be the father of a great nation, and throughout him, the entire world would be blessed. God got Moses' attention by initially speaking to him through a burning bush. I mean, that's something you don't see every day. And so sometimes God will go through extraordinary measures to get our attention. But God wanted a relationship with Moses, and he wanted to use him to help deliver his people from slavery. God through the written, I mean, we go on and we see that God throughout the written word, through prophets, through priests, through kings, and even through ordinary people, and ultimately through Jesus, has been revealing himself all throughout history, again, inviting us into relational connection with him. And you know, God is still speaking. Through his Holy Spirit, he's pulling people today, again, trying to get them in, to bring you into the faith, and then push you out to his purposes. God still talks to you, and he wants to talk to you, and he wants you to hear his voice today. He wants you to recognize it as such. When I say he's talking, I'm not necessarily meaning audibly. I mean, very few people have had that experience, and yet he still wants to speak in a way that is clear. Now, we're going to spend a chunk of this time as you've been hearing about this Experiencing God campaign, we're going to talk about how we can better discern God's voice. So please invest yourself in this series. Be here for the Sunday services. Join a home fellowship. And again, the focus is going to be on improving our relationship with God so we can better hear what he's saying to us, know him, and go forward in the things he calls us to. But back to this problem at hand of spiritual dullness, this idea of no longer trying to understand. when God is speaking and trying to get our attention. And again, when we've learned, we've just begun to tune him out. Think about this as you evaluate yourselves. Clearly, this is easy to see in the person that isn't a follower of God, right? They don't probably aren't very tuned in to God and the things of God. This is easy maybe to see spiritual dullness in a person who has strayed from the faith and they once were vibrant in the relationship but have kind of pulled away from that. But it is also something that many of us in this room have experienced and which some are going through right now. Now, this can be masked because we may still do some of the religious things. We may go to church services. We may even read our Bible, listen to Christian podcasts, share Bible verse memes. We may do all of these things and yet still be tuning out God's voice because we aren't intentionally trying to discern what he is saying to us. And again, the problem is spiritual dullness causes us to miss out on the life-saving, life-changing communication that God is speaking to us and wants us to hear. Now, whether you're experiencing spiritual dullness right now or just say, hey, I want to avoid this in my life, the solution is really the same. Be intentional about giving God your attention. Do you know that listening is more active than passive? It takes effort to listen to somebody. We all know some great listeners. That's not something that's just like happened. It usually is someone is very intentional about this, and we can be intentional too. So how do we really begin to practice this better? I think it starts in prayer. And part of that act of prayers is something that we're called to do, and that is to repent. Repent simply means changing the way that you think. And so now that we're aware, we can come to God and say, God, listen, I think I've become spiritually dull. But I want to hear the things you want to say to me. And I'm sorry for not being intentional about giving you my attention. I'm sorry about being distracted. Please help me to pay attention to you. Another thing we could do is we can ask as we talk to God. Ask God to help you discern his voice. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. So ask God. Say, God, I really, as one of your sheep, as one of your redeemed, I really want to hear you. Please help that. Help me develop that. Here's the next thing I say as we're praying. Shut up. Which I say with all affection to you. Like, how many conversations that you have that are meaningful, that is just one person talks, and at the end they say, okay, thanks a lot. That was great. Good talk. And leaves. We've got to stop. We've got to pause. What if God wants to say something to you? So as we pray, and it's good that we talk, I'm not saying don't talk, but stop and clear our thoughts and clear our words and just give God a space to begin to speak into our lives. And maybe there's something he wants to tell you beyond all the things that we've said. Maybe there's something God wants to speak to us. And again, this is so important because part of the problem is our lives, there's so little margin for us. Many of us, we're living in white noise. There's always something going on, something we're doing, something we're entertaining ourselves with. We've got social media, we've got media, we've got all these things, and there's very little margin. And so we have to create space that God can speak and talk. Now, you know one of the ways we can do this? There's lots of spiritual disciplines we can do. One of the spiritual disciplines we can practice if we're like, I want to work on this, is the spiritual discipline of meditation. And that is, as you have a daily time, and maybe for you that's reading in your Bible and praying, that's wonderful. Maybe set apart a few minutes where you can just be quiet and say, God, this is your part. And maybe you have a journal, maybe you have a pen, and I'm gonna focus on what you have to say to me, and I'm just going to kind of meditate on you and then just be quiet and let you speak to me. And listen, when you believe God is talking, here's an important part, especially if you're early in the stage trying to figure this out. Whatever you believe God is saying, it can't contradict Scripture. Like, so right away, oh, God's giving me this new revelation, and it's like, clearly violates this. That's not God talking. That's something else. You're going to have to figure that out. But that's not God talking. And if you're like, oh, well, I don't know. Is God talking to me in this area? Maybe talk to someone who's a mature believer and then begin to process this with them. But understand, God wants to talk to you. And if we love God, we will listen to God. This is basic stuff. This is sort of that early level because we can't go forward into maturity if we're not listening to God. But the next logical question to ask that builds on that is this. Are you applying? Are you listening? And then, are you applying? Well, the results are in. The very best diets and fitness plans in the world get the very worst results every time they are not tried. Do you know that's true? It's true physically, but it's also true spiritually. Listen, if you're in the flow of communication with God and you're hearing Him and you're sort of spiritually dialed in, that's a good thing, but you have to ask yourself, are you putting into practice the things that God is telling you? If He's reminding you of a promise for your life, are you hanging on to that in hope, or are you still giving into fear? If He is offering you guidance, the Word says He's the wonderful counselor. If He's offering you guidance, are you heeding His counsel? If He's giving you instruction for your life, are you following through on that? If He's pointing out an idol or a sin that needs to be dealt with in your life, are you making the difficult decisions and adjustments that need to be made? See, the point is, it doesn't really help us much if we intentionally learn to hear God's voice and don't actually heed it, because that will eventually lead us back to spiritual dullness, because God's not going to keep pouring out revelation if we ignore it and just discard the things He's saying to us. Also, if we are in this state where we're not applying it, it also makes us spiritual babies. Now, those are the author's words, not mine. But a spiritual baby is somebody that needs milk, not meat, to be fed. So if you think about in spiritual terms, the milk of the Word is, it's really the simple foundational principles about what it means to come to Christ and become a follower of Him. But meat is some of the loftier things. Maybe this is into the deep theological things that many scholars have wrestled with. Maybe this is getting into the advanced aspects of discipleship, where we're really beginning to lay down our lives and die to ourselves in response to Jesus, who first laid down His life and died to us. But you can see there's a progression. There's a deepening that takes place. But He's saying, listen, just like you don't give an infant a side of beef, right? Lots of parents here, very few parents that I know of, like, that's my strategy with my kid. They're going to grow strong because I'm just giving my infant a side of beef. No, you give them milk until they grow and they can process other things. In the same way, you don't give a baby Christian these meatier things, but you give them the simple milk, the basic stuff. Now, if you are new or newer to Jesus, that is exactly where you should be. But if you've been around for a while, and if you've grown in your faith, then you should be able to handle more. Now, in preparation, when I teach every Sunday, I always feel a challenge, because I know there's people that don't know God, people that know God for many years, people that just a short amount of time. I feel responsible to bring a certain amount of milk and a certain amount of meat, and I try to bring depth in the simplest way. So it's like, oh, that was really simple, right? But hopefully there's something underneath there of substance, so that wherever you are on the spiritual maturity spectrum, there is something there that is for you. Now, I may not always hit the mark, and not every message is perfectly balanced, but there should be something for everyone. But regardless, especially as you mature, your spiritual diet should not be limited to a Sunday morning service at any church. Now, I don't know what your favorite restaurant is. I've got a few. But no matter how good your favorite restaurant is, there is no meal they serve that will feed you all week long. Right? It's like you go home and you have to eat again eventually, even if the meal was fantastic. Likewise, a church doesn't provide an experience for you that's going to last you all week long. You have to begin to learn to feed yourself. Now, back to regular food. How often do we need to eat? Right. Daily, for those of you that don't know, it's like every day we're supposed to eat. Several times, right? That's something that's pretty basic. We know that. So let me ask you a question. To be spiritually healthy, mature, and grow, how often do you suppose we should eat spiritual food? Awesome, you guys. That's great. Daily. every single day, right? We don't get our input and just last for a week. And so every single day, we need to get into God's word, let it get into us, and we need to begin to apply these things for our growth and for his glory. Now, notice back to verse 14, what it says in Hebrews 5, the writer says, solid food is for the mature who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. Some great words there, but this phrase, constant use of God's word. Some translations say training or practice. By practicing, the people of God have become very skilled of the things of God, and they have trained themselves to move beyond where they have started, and it says, which in turn helps them to discern between good and bad. Now, I'm going to let you in on something going on in my life. A few months ago, Rebecca and I began Taekwondo. Now, I started this many decades too late in life, so I can relate to those of you that have maybe come to God late in life. When every time you start something late, it's a lot to learn, and there's a steep learning curve. I mean, but as you look at this, when I started, I had no background at all in martial arts, other than the time as a teenager when I was nearly assaulted by a sensei because I unintentionally challenged him, which is a great story for another day. But we were there, we were totally fresh, and we couldn't do anything. I mean, everything was bad. My kicks were too low, my flexibility and balance was not, I mean, I had about the flexibility of a rock, and my balance was off. But we've been really going at this thing for the past few months. We've been going 3 to 5 times a week. And through practice, by constant use, we've grown. We could do many things we couldn't do in the beginning. The kicks, the balance, breaking boards, and we've progressed. Like, you don't want to mess with me. I'm a yellow belt. So the point is, okay, I understand that's basically you're barely still started. But it's progress. And for us to progress in anything, you have to be invested, you have to practice, you have to move forward. And the point is, I could have read about that, I could have read the best book on Taekwondo, but it's not until you actually do it that you get up. In anything in life, to grow, you have to show up, you have to observe, you have to listen, and you have to practice, and then you experience the growth. In the same way, to progress spiritually, you have to show up, observe, listen, and practice the things of God. James 1:22 says, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. God wants you to grow. But growing is not just knowing. It's also doing. If you want to experience gains in your spiritual journey, it takes training. It takes putting into practice all the revelation that you are receiving. Not everything at once, one time, that's chaotic, but what is the one thing that God puts in front of you? It's a basic belief around here. The way we look at that is we always say, what is your next step in your walk with God? You know, do you know what that is, and are you willing to take it? So here, let's just for a moment, let's put into practice the things we're saying. Ask yourself, what is your next step with God? What has he maybe been saying through his word? Maybe something you've heard today, maybe in your private time with God, through something you heard on the radio. Let me pause for a moment. Think about it. If it helps you close your eyes for a moment, do whatever it takes to focus. What is God directing you to do? Whatever that next step is, write it down. One of the next steps, we always suggest next steps for you at the on your handouts that you could take with you. One of the recommended next steps is to go ahead and do that thing that you know today. Maybe you still don't know, but if that means what one of your next steps should be to take extended time, more than we can offer in the middle of a message, and find out. Listen, you find out that next step by listening to God, and then we begin to apply it to experience some growth, which leads to the last question to consider today as we consider, are we moving forward to maturity? And that is, are you moving? And listen, if you keep taking steps with God, you should be. The author charges us, therefore, let us move beyond the elementary teachings about Christ and be taken forward to maturity. He then lists some of the basic elements that a Christian believer, particularly from a Judaic context, as his audience was, would have been well acquainted with at the time. And then he says, you can't stop there. There are miles to go. You think about this in anything in life. As my children progress and sometimes bring home their homework or ask me some questions about their assignments, I'm confounded by some of the things that they're learning and the difficult things they're working on. But I am also pleased for them because I know that each difficult task and assignment is moving them further on their educational journey. I mean, if they were to come home these days and still be bringing me 100% A gold sticker on an arithmetic test, or, Dad, I won the spelling bee in one syllable words, or, you know, it's like, that's not that impressive anymore. There was a time that that would have been like, all right, way to go, and we would have rejoiced with them, but they have moved beyond the elementary. All but one of them have moved beyond elementary school. So, you know, it makes sense. But in the same way, when we started our spiritual journey, it was good that we were getting down and learning the basics. But at some point, you've got to move beyond that, past the elementary. You know, we don't want to be the guy who says, I've been a Christian for 20 years, who in reality has been a Christian 1 year, 20 times, right? We don't want that. I don't want that for any of you. We want to continue to move forward. Now, one of the things that I do love about Taekwondo is the belt system. It's nice to know that you can move forward, but again, being almost at the bottom of the chart gives you the sober evaluation, like, I haven't arrived yet. You're not fooling anybody, right? It helps you to know that. So, you know, wouldn't it be cool if we had an equivalent, like, in the Christian world, like, how do I become a Christian black belt? That would be awesome. We don't have that. I'm not suggesting we're not implementing that next in 2019. It's not part of my goals. But what I do think is important is that we have some way of evaluating ourselves, that we understand what it means to move to maturity in the faith. While we don't have a belt system, I think here are some marks of maturity that could guide us. First of all, a mature Christian is someone that has a good understanding of God's word and how to apply it. We don't just go in and kind of make things up. We have a good background. We understand the historical setting and so forth, and we can apply it to our lives. This person also practices regular, consistent spiritual disciplines designed for relational intimacy, not just to check an item off on a box. This person has progressive trust in God and in his word. They have a deepening character. It means we're becoming more like God that we follow along the way. This person has continued obedience, even though we might stumble and fall and experience setbacks along the way, we get up and keep moving. This person has an external focus. That is, we want people who don't believe as we do to believe that we do. We're not mad at people that don't believe in God and say bad things about us. We want them to come and know the same love that we've experienced. A mature follower of Jesus has a servant's heart. That is, we willingly, regularly, cheerfully serve others. This person has a confidence in Christ. We know by whom we stand. They have an assurance of salvation. We know where we stand. They become a better witness because people who don't know Jesus see something different in them. And in a good way. Now, this is not an exhaustive list, but hopefully some things that help us recognize some traits of a more mature believer. But the text mentioned a couple ways that we see some marks of maturity. It mentioned diet and exercise. Diet, we've already discussed, the idea of moving from milk to meat, but also exercise. Not just what you do personally, but how do you help others? And I know I'm really close, maybe beyond the right now, at risk of straining this Taekwondo analogy, but let me tell you one more thing. One of the things I love is where we go, how welcoming and encouraging and helpful the environment is. Everyone is invested in your progress. Like, the black belts know to go further, to get second degree, third degree, fourth degree, so forth. That's not just their personal training, but they're required to invest in helping the people behind them move forward and keep progressing. And I love that, and I think that's the same idea that is in of Christianity, especially when the author says, I have to go over the basics again, but you should be teachers by now. So as you consider your own spiritual authority, your maturity, ask yourself, have I grown to the point where I am now ready to teach other people and prepared to do that? And have I grown to the point of maturity where I am willing to help others, where it's not just about me and God, it's about we and God, and I look at the people behind me and I care and I want to help them move along in their spiritual journey? Listen, I don't know where you're at today. We've got a wide spectrum. Maybe some of you are at the place where it says moving forward to maturity means signing up and being a part of a home fellowship and really digging in and learning to experience God. Maybe for you it means signing up and going to the men's retreat or the women's gathering. I mean, pick one. You can't do both. Like it should be obvious which one you should go to. But anyway, sign up for that and participate. Maybe for you, that is your next step. For some of you, it means stepping up and taking some leadership. And for some of you, it means leading a home fellowship. As I looked at the catalog, I saw there were 18 groups today. Well, to have everybody in a group, we would really need to have at least 24 or 25, and that is a gap that we're trying to fill. But rather than coming to you from, oh, we really need, can I appeal to you from the point of maturity? You know who you are. Some of you should be leading groups right now, and it should matter that there are people behind you that really want to grow, and you have something to offer. We'll help equip you and train you, but it's time for some of you to step up and move towards maturity. And even if you feel like I'm not totally ready, God will help you and equip you with that. But listen, maybe that's not you. For some of you, it's stepping up and teaching in Calvary Kids or in youth ministry or taking on some leadership role of some type of ministry in the church, whatever it is. The point is, if you're doing the same thing you were doing a year or 5 years ago, I mean, those are good things, but you need to advance, right? Those things that we've been doing for a long time, that's not the rooftop. That's the foundation. And we need to build on those things to keep moving forward to maturity. You see, moving forward to maturity requires you to be stretched and challenged in some way, pushing to new progress. Now, before we get out of here, and you go and take whatever next step that you have and whatever God is showing, I want to share with you something that was from the passage that I think is incredibly important and should be helpful to you today. The last verse in the passage we read after this charge to keep moving forward to maturity says this, and God permitting, we will do so. See, what he brings us back to is the important truth that spiritual maturity does not rest all on us. There is the God factor, and in fact, that is the biggest factor. Jesus said, if you abide or remain in me, and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Notice this fruit bearing, the good things of God producing in our lives, doesn't come by our action, but by staying connected to God so that God can do his part and transform us. Listen, we can't do God's part in this process, and God won't do our part, but what we can do is we can listen. We can apply and we can position ourselves and seek to be made mature by God and moving forward in his direction with the hope, with the promise that God will transform us as he promises us into the image of Jesus. This doesn't only benefit you and make you stronger, though it will. It also benefits all the people around you that get to experience you and experience this fruit that God produces you in your life. And it also brings great glory to God, who is so pleased to watch his sons and daughters yield themselves to him and grow in him and become strong in him. It makes God happy. It pleases God, who first moved in our direction so that we could, in response, move forward into his. Would you join me in prayer today? God, I thank you so much for my brothers and sisters that are here. And as we gather in your name, God, I pray we'd be reminded that we'd be encouraged, that we recognize we have come a distance. We're not where we once were, But God, help us not to settle for that. Help us to have a holy discontent with where we are and where you want us to be, and help us to take seriously listening to you. Help us understand what that means. Help us really get that and really position ourselves for that. Help us know what next step you're showing to us today, and help us, God, have the courage to apply that, even if it's difficult, even if it's challenging, even if it would mean some sort of sacrifice. God, help us to do that in your strength for your glory. And I pray, God, that you'd help us mature, not only as individuals, but as a community of Christ followers. And we know that that would mean that as a community of Christ followers, it means a steady flow of people that don't know you and that are new to you, because we always want to be looking behind and pulling people along on the journey. God, it is our desire, it is our prayer, it is our hope that we would move forward into maturity with you. So help us do what we can. Please do what only you can today, in Jesus' name. And I want to just say a word for those of you that are here today, and maybe you've not begun this relationship with God. For some of you, that is your next move. If you really want to be dialed in, if you're like, wow, God can really speak to me and he can guide me in life, yes, but it happens in the context of relationship with God. And you know, when it comes to relationship, God made the first move. He's been talking to you. He's been talking to you your whole life, trying to get your attention. But the biggest thing he did to get your attention was Jesus on the cross. Because Jesus on the cross was like, what is this all about? It's about our sin and separation from God, the things that we do wrong that keep distance from us. And God say, I can't have part of, but what I'm going to do, because you can't close this gap and you can't cover these things apart from a very high cost of permanent separation from me, is I'm going to give my son, who did nothing wrong, and to cover with his blood your sin and shame, so that that can be forgiven and you can be healed, you can be made right before me, and we can be reconnected in God. But like in any relationship, there's the invitation, there's the extension, but that relationship has to be accepted. It has to be saying, yes, I will follow, I want to follow in this relationship. And with a relationship with God, what it means is just the simple confession, like, yes, God, I understand I'm separated from you, that on my own I can't do enough, but God, it also says, I will trust you, I believe that you were talking to me, that you want to hear me, that you died for me, that you rose again and live now, and I believe and I choose and I want to follow you. And if that's you today, I want to just offer you a simple prayer where you can talk to God. You don't need to say anything out loud. He'll hear your voice and he will respond to you. Many of us in this room have begun a relationship with God just like that. Maybe not, in whatever way, it doesn't matter, but this is the opportunity before you and this is God speaking to you. So church, would you join me in a heart and an attitude of prayer? I want to pray for those of you that have not yet begun that relationship, that maybe this would be your day. God, I pray for those here that you have been calling their whole lives. Maybe they're going through difficult times and they're feeling a call or feeling a sense or feeling a touch. Maybe things are good right now, and yet underneath there's something settling, a wonder, is there more? And yet, God, your voice has been trying to get their attention and trying to get their attention, and here they are today. God, I pray you give spiritual ears to hear and willingness and courage to respond to your voice, to respond to your invitation to relationship today. If that's you today, I'm going to offer you a prayer that you can repeat after me. Again, you could just say it where you are. You can say it in your heart and God will hear you. But if that's you, with every head bowed and eye closed, would you raise your hand just so I can understand that you're here today? I see your hands, both of you. Thank you so much. And I just want to pray for you. If there's anyone else here in this room and you want to say that prayer, then I'm going to say this and you can repeat that in your heart and God will hear you. Just say, dear God, thank you for being a God who wants to talk to me and wants to have a relationship with me. Thank you for loving me enough to die for me. I want to accept your invitation to a relationship. I want to follow Jesus. Help me this day forward hear your voice and heed your voice. In Jesus' name, amen. For those of you that prayed their prayer, I'm going to be outside as you go out and make a left at the guest center. I would love to meet you. Come up and introduce yourself and say hello. On the way, on your right, you're going to see a section that says Finding Faith. There's men and women there that can answer any questions. They have a Bible they'd love to give you and a little study guide to help you get started on your spiritual journey. I'm so encouraged for you, and we want to help you. We want to help, you know, bring you along. We don't want you to do this all on your own, so let us know how we can help you. For the rest of you, may God help you listen to his voice today. May you respond in obedience and may you grow into all that God wants you to be. God bless you.